Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 184, or I'm sorry, 194, for August 27th, 2018. And I started this show a little over 4 years ago now on August 25th, 2014. So this is the 4 year anniversary. And Neil Batho, who's here today, was actually on that first episode with me. So, and I just want to thank all the viewers and the guests that make this possible. And so we are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And just a reminder, if you listen to podcasts, I'm also posting all the audio only version of every episode now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else you might listen to podcasts. So be sure to search for Timing Research and subscribe there. Today we will be discussing the 257th weekly crowd forecast news report, which you should be seeing the PDF version on your screen right now. But if you haven't had a chance to take a look at this yet, you can just go to timingresearch.com and find it there. I have Mike Pisani back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
David, thanks for having me on, and big congratulations to you for your four-year anniversary with the show.
Thank you.
That's fabulous news.
Yeah.
So, everybody, it's great to be here again today. It's Monday the 27th. We have a bright green start to the markets this week, new all-time highs in the SPY and the Qs on tap. And we're going to talk about where we all see the market going this week. So what I thought we'd start off doing is letting everybody give a little bit of introduction about who they are and what they do. And Jim Kenny of Option Professor, why don't you start us off?
Sure. I'm Jim Kenny, Option Professor. I provide the content to Option Professor, which is basically an education firm that has DVDs and other information on the uses and the risks of the options, using them for cash flow purposes, using them for hedging purposes, and also for limited risk speculation. And there's a lot of different areas and things to do. So the 5 hours of material that is on the DVDs can be helpful for your education.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Neil Batho of TraderReview.net. Why don't you tell us about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I used to be a broker at a big firm 20 years ago, so I guess close to my 20-year anniversary, right out of college. And worked there for about a year, did some business consulting after that. And then I still use some of the methods that I learned from back at the firm, making picks today using point and figure charting. And about 5 years ago, I picked up the Ichimoku Cloud. So I think I'm maybe the only newsletter out there that uses point and figure. And we've had some really great results using overall market timing with that analysis that I also teach to private clients.
Thank you very much. Damon Pavaltos of FuturePathTrading.com. I got that close to right, David. Damon, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. So I threw up my history because it's too, I don't want to bore you. It's 41 years of being in the business overall, just held four seats throughout my career, traded on the floor of the CME basically for 28, 29, and then started a electronic trading company off the floor called Future Path Trading. And we created a software called Photon Trader. Now that's our software. And during my career on the floor of the exchange, I also executed and ran operations for multiple firms, executed for big hedge funds and institutional traders like Tudor Jones, Lewis Bacon, Monroe Trout, Toby Crabo. And actually in there's Linda Rashke, which is now my wife, full disclosure for those who know her. And currently, I have Future Path Trading still. It's a IB with six different CMs we go through, and we own Photon Trader and also offer 20 different front ends. But that's what I'm doing. I love technical analysis. I started selling my services 2 years after I had a seat at the Mid-America on the floor of the CME. I came back and at least the seat there and had a charting order service. Sorry about that. So that's it. And that's kind of like the overall view. of my history.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Dave Landry of DaveLandry.com. Dave, tell everybody here what you do and about yourself.
Thank you, Mike. Dave Landry from DaveLandry.com. As Mike said, I believe that you can only shorter term, but I don't think you make enough money trading for short-term gains. Longer term is too risky, unfortunately, and the drawdowns can be abysmal. Take a hybrid approach as a swing trader, but I'll stay with positions in my favor. I'll focus on stocks because I believe the inefficiencies are. And then if you want to know more about what I do, if you go to DaveLandry.com/CFN, and I'll pull up that link later in the show too, I'll send you a bunch of free stuff, and I'll give you $100 reusable promo code that you can get all three of my books and get up to speed on what I'm doing first before you spend any money. So that's pretty much it. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. For you guys who know me, myself, my name is Mike Pisani. I have a smaller company called SmartOptionTrading.com. You could also catch me over at Alpha Shark moderating about 2 hours a day. And for me, I've been doing this since 2008. Just after the financial crash, I started getting involved in trading stocks and fell in love with it. And finally found my way to options and really fell in love with that. And today what I do is I use technical analysis and option flow to tell me what names to get into, whether I should be chasing a name up that high, going after it, or how I should be trading throughout the course of the day. And I also use this for sentiment, right? So I look at what the option market is telling me. It often will tell you what the overall sentiment of the market is, whether it's bullish, bearish, or unsure. And that helps me decide how much risk I want to have on at any one point in time. And I'll tell you more in detail about it at the end of the show. All right, guys. So nice start to the week here. We had a little bit of NAFTA news. We had a nice big gap up this morning. So the first question we're going to start with you, Jim, and then work our way down is, you know, which direction you think the S&P 500 is going to finish in today, higher or lower, and put your confidence rating with that. What percent?
Well, the whole board obviously looks like it's breaking out to the upside. So, you know, just willy-nilly stepping in front of it can be a very dangerous thing. The flow, which has been the best way to go, it still makes sense that it would go higher. Because we're having such a panic opening on a Monday, I don't know that it's going to keep going straight up like this, but I would put the probability of it going up, obviously, at least 60%. But what I would do is take advantage of the puts being so cheap, and I'd put some hedging on there with the puts. Or if I was doing a strategy, you know, I've been a big believer in the strangle-straddle strategy because the premiums have been very reasonable, and you can afford to lose on one side if the other side's going to be a home run. And clearly, the calls have gone through the roof to such a degree that it wouldn't have mattered if you bought a put or something like that. With this kind of volatility, you're getting enough action to do two-sided trades, in my opinion. So I think it might be looking like it's going up, obviously, with this kind of an opening, but we've got stuff coming up like GDP, inflation numbers, and trade numbers tomorrow. And, you know, that could be coming out a little different than people think because of the front-running that went on when they came out with the last GDP, which won't be there this time. So I would say 60% probability on the upside, but I throw a hedge on there for sure.
Percent up with a hedge. Love it. Neil, same question to you. How do you see the market ending this week in percent chance?
Just let me share my screen real quick. You know, at first I was going to say up 80%, and then I'm looking at it closer, and I can't remember what it's called exactly in candlesticks. When you see this gap up here, such a huge gap up, right over the all-time high, I don't know. I'm still going to go with up, but with tight stops for sure. Maybe I'm going to switch down to maybe 60% to the up. You got to watch these big gap ups with euphoria like that. The Fed was saying something a couple days ago to sort of bump up the market like they usually do. So I'm going to stick with up still.
All right. So two up so far. Damon, any dissent?
All right. I had to unmute myself there. And let's see. Let me start with this one here for a second. Okay. What you're looking at, I just kept this pretty simple. I think it's a little easier to look at. Starting with last week, on Monday, I felt the market was going higher. That was my call. We were going to take out all-time highs. We did, and we're continuing to. Although, I, from what I'm looking at, the charts that I'm looking at, there's multiple charts. I can't throw them all up, but I kind of expect the market to trend maybe a little higher from here, but we're at the top of the channel. If you, if I show you a weekly chart, you'll see a weekly chart. We're at the top, and we broke out the highs. Now, generally, from my years and experience and just looking at these charts, when we reach the top of a channel, especially when we just broke out of all-time highs, you get a little bit of a climax here. We, you know, definitely have it, and I think we'll get a little bit more. I kind of feel that we're going to make highs, you know, continue to make new highs middle week and maybe taper off by Friday. So I would say that by the end of the week, we probably will be higher. That's my guess. I feel like we'll peak out tomorrow or Wednesday a little and get a climax based on just that we're on the top of the weekly channel and there's resistance up here a little bit. Also, we had a huge rally, and we have not closed below the five moving average for now. It looks like 7 days, which is usually around 9 days. You know, it's typical to get a little pullback if you've been above it. So I'm kind of, I'll show one more chart and then I'll let you guys go. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a peak somewhere around the middle of the week, maybe close higher in the week, but we'll get a little bit of a pullback. Let me show one more chart and then I'll pass it on. Just let's see. So you can see kind of what I was talking about. All right. So you can see this is a weekly chart here, just in the SPYs even. You can see we're getting close to the top of that channel. I just threw this up because generally you see on the bottom, I'm not big on overbought, oversold stuff. You could get killed, as you could see. But we haven't had a pullback below the five. We did have a little bit of a pullback, did not close 3 days ago. And I just threw up a five as a little guideline. Slope's been positive now for over a week and a half. And generally, from coming from the floor, when you test an all-time high like that, you know, you could get a nice pullback after the dog pile is done. You know, right now we're dog piling in. It's Monday, and I could see maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, we have a little bit of a climax and a little pullback. So I would say by the end of the week, I'm 80% confident that we'll be maybe unchanged or a little higher. I think, though, you know, we're a lot higher currently, and we will be in Wednesday, but I think you'll get see a little pullback after that.
All right. So that's so far everybody's higher. Dave, you bearish?
I'm going to go ahead with higher too. I like a lot of the things that Damon said about the five-day moving average and things like that. I think that's pretty cool analysis. I'm going to go ahead and answer the second part of question two, or I guess the next question while we're at it. But I'll go 60% higher. And Apple, I think things like the 50-week moving average can help you to stay on the right side of the market, like slope. I like the slope. I also like a pattern I call daylight. But before we get to that, just real quick, obviously at all-time highs here, I do think new highs will be, guys. I know Damon said some correction here and there. I think Neil might have mentioned something about a correction. Disagree with that. But as a trend follower, and some people call me a trend following moron, I believe in that you should err on the side of the longer term. I have a little system here, which I've just been kind of messing around with, not to make a mechanical system or anything, but real simple rules. When you have 2-week moving average and you're within 10% of all time highs, and the technical analysis states if you're at point A, point C, and point B is somewhere in between, then somewhere around B. The market has to pass through B. Fundamental analysis, you can't say, well, if P is this, or you buy, or P is that, you sell, or any other thing. But with technical analysis, it will have to pass through B. So my theory here at near C, and for the S&P 500, 10% seems to be a good point. And you also have a little momentum factor by having 2 days above the moving average. We're pretty close. Well, we're at 0% because we're at brand new high. So as long as you're within 10% of those new highs, and on here, I was using a 50-week high. So in that particular song, very long time. And let me just go back to the charts and show you on that. So as long as we stay, again, at or near these new highs, I'm not going to get too excited about the overall market. I think we'll have some corrections along the way. I'd actually like to see us accelerate higher and then have maybe a few what I call knockout moves. We have a sharp thrust against the trend. And let's go to a weekly chart here just real quick. And you can see we've had what I call this Dave light, and that's just simply the lows are greater than the moving average for a long, long time. And just that in and of itself, even more simpler than the system I just showed you, will help to keep you on the right side of the market. So for now, I'm going to err on the side of longer-term trend. And if you for a while, you'll probably think I'm always bullish, and that's because usually the market is fairly close to several years at least, it's been fairly close to those new highs. So continue again to err on the side of longer-term trend and keep saying higher as long as we're at new highs.
Thanks, Dave. I'm not sure if it's your mic or not. I'm having a hard time hearing you. You keep breaking up as you're talking. Just giving you a heads up.
Oh, okay.
All right. So for me here, so I'm going to go contrarian, guys. I'm going to say there's a 30% chance, I'm sorry, a 70% chance we're going to end this market lower than where we are here at the end of the week. And my reasoning behind this is that we have broken out to an all-time buy, which I love. We have a lot of buyers coming into the market. We've made, since the January, February correction, a series of higher lows. You can see it on this chart. Nice, consistent higher lows. But we now are in an area where we're getting some sentiment getting overly hot. You know, the put-to-calls are starting to run hot. The oscillators that I look at are running hot. And more importantly, the SPY just got very extended off the eight-day coming into here. And the next week is usually one of the lowest weeks, volume weeks of the market. And it's going to be filled with algos and games. And I would not be surprised. I think you guys all said you think we're going to get a little bit of a run up here this week, but that they pull the rug out from underneath everybody into the end of the week, especially when nobody's out there and nobody's paying attention, right? We all know come Thursday and Friday, nobody's going to be paying attention to this market. And they could just sell those sell algorithms on it, just take us back and not sell the market off, but just bring us back into a more neutral setting, flush out some of this over bullishness and get us back to there. So I do love this market. I'm trying to find ways to stay long it. And I encourage instead to look for individual names and forget what the indexes are doing as long as they're not selling off, I think is the best way to try to keep playing this. And they're giving us great places to play these days, which has been wonderful. You know, every day they're coming in. In fact, the banks today, which we've had a lack of leadership, finally got back involved, which is great to see. And you see names like GS for the biggest candle I've seen in that thing in, I don't know, 6 months. So this is all good stuff. So let's back this up. Jim, let's go back to you. So a little bit more in detail. So you're saying higher, I'm saying lower. You know, where would your target be at this week at this point?
Well, I tell you, I mean, the momentum is what has me saying that it's going to go higher. But having said that, you know, the big news, obviously, as always, the earnings have been fabulous. And other situations like the trillion-dollar buybacks that are going to be out there and that the tax cuts have not really run all the way through the system. These are very powerful things. And interest rates are still at ridiculously low levels for the kind of economy that's going on, kind of asset inflation that's going on. So, you know, the stage is really set to create the big bubble because, again, the earnings are fabulous and 2% or less in money market is still looking like a joke compared to the returns they're getting in stock. So the thing here is that that's the momentum, that's everything. Now, on a short-term basis, what's the problem? The problem is that you're 200 points or so above the 200-day on your S&P and you're 700 points or so above the 200-day on your NASDAQ. You know, so that's getting a little bit in the frothy side. Then last week, we had the VIX go to a little bit under 1175. We've had all this big rally, and the VIX is still in the 12s. Actually, it's up today. So, you know, is there some reason to believe that this is something that could change by the end of the week? And the reason you could say that is, again, the overbought nature to the 200-day, the VIX not really making new lows, and some of the stocks in the FANGs are not making new highs. And, you know, there has to be a seller for every buyer. So somebody is selling this while everyone is buying it. And again, you know, they're certainly getting pretty good prices here today. So, you know, while I'm saying obviously the momentum and it looks like it's going to go up, you know, I wouldn't mind investigating covered call writing right now. And I wouldn't mind investigating some hedging on my positions if I had big gains, or even transferring a big position into a limited risk option position up here might not be the worst thing to take a look at. So there's moves to consider, even though there is a hysteria. And again, the consumer's on fire. You can see by Ross and Walmart and all these other companies, Target, et cetera, you know, the consumer is out there definitely hitting the spending sprees. So, of course, that's a very big positive as well.
Jim, you brought up something that I brought up to my people in my service this morning, and that was we have a divergence that's set up this morning. And if you look, it comes between the VIX and the SPY, right? The VIX is up, and so is the SPY today. Does that worry you? I mean, usually when I see that, I say one has to catch up to the other, right? Either the market pulls in and catches up to the VIX, or the VIX turns around and crashes. And despite the market going up all day, the VIX has barely come in. It's just holding on above this 12 area, and it's just not letting go on this big gap up. Does this give you any cause for concern?
Well, again, it's one of the you can build a case on either side on any subject, right? So if you're building a subject, a case on the subject that it might roll over, you're going to identify the VIX as an indicator. You're also going to identify the 200-day average and how far away we are from everything. And then, of course, you know, that we gapped up, and sometimes the market does come back to gaps if, in fact, you know, the news mellows out. Again, the inflationary news is coming up. We got a GDP news coming up, and we've got trade information coming up. Right now, everyone's got party hats on because of the NAFTA talk. And of course, you know, the earnings have continued to be great. Home Depot, I guess, is next week, and we've got other news coming out this week. So, you know, a lot of people are very enthusiastic, and it's breaking out to the upside. And Goldman Sachs, a stock that I've been watching, is certainly trying to break out to the upside. So, you know, there's a lot of momentum on the upside, and that's why, you know, it could easily follow through. Having said that, you know, if the news later in the week turns a little bit, and a little water comes on this thing, obviously people that were short are getting blown out or have been blown out, so they're gone. And then basically the market makers down there who are seeing all this buy volume come in because of the news today, you know, they're selling it at the highest possible price possible. I mean, it's a merchandising operation. It always is. So if you're seeing panic buying on a Monday, you first have to say to yourself why, and then the second thing, well, who's going to be selling it? And if the people selling it feel like this volume is not going to be there as the week progresses, then it falls under its own weight. And that's a distinct possibility. But right now, it's not a probability because of the momentum.
Thank you, sir. Neil, so if you're higher, you think we're going to go higher. What's going to lead us higher this week? What is it, a sector? Is it specific names? What do you think is going to take us to your higher levels this week?
Well, I only said 55% higher with a real close talk. So, and things are selling off as we were talking, you know, as the show is going on. So I'll just share the screen really quickly. I'm almost thinking I want to switch to 55% chance down, but I've seen this a couple times over the last 20 years is the gap up at the end of a trend. The gap up at the end of a trend is just an absolute classic. And normally I do trend following where I'm not picking the absolute tops and the absolute bottoms. But if you wanted to pick the absolute top, this very well could be it. So, yeah, I think I'm going to switch the down actually right around, you know, 55-60% down, just because of the only simple reason that you have this gap up at the end of a trend. Seen it before. And that's pretty much all there is to say. I mean, the Target CEO says he's never seen the economy spending so good in his entire life. And, you know, but then you have the Fed pumping up the market a couple of days ago. I think Powell was saying something in Jackson Hole. And right now, if I'm looking at the dollar is selling off. Here's the dollar on the daily chart. I mean, that's a huge sell-off for the dollar, which means the Fed's, you know, not going to maybe raise rates as fast as everyone was thinking. And people would think that's a good sign, but that's a bad sign for stocks, because why will, if the economy must be weak, if you're not raising the rates, what, you can't handle it? You can't handle another shot? You must be weak, right? So, yeah, I'm going to switch to down. Doesn't mean the big trend is over, but September is usually one of the worst months in the market. I've seen it so many times. Everyone thinks it's October. That's when the big crashes are. But September is usually really bad. People think, oh, everyone's back to work. They're going to start buying again. But it's not true. People get back to work and they go, ah, crap, I'm back to work. Let's just sell. So that's it.
Thank you, sir. You know, you bring up a great point. September is usually one of the worst months in the markets. It always seems to be when a black swan event tends to come out of nowhere, right? It just kind of takes the markets by storm. The one thing I would encourage everybody is everybody thinks that, you know, we're going to come back from Labor Day weekend and volume will be back in this market on Tuesday. And the truth is, it usually takes about a week before the big traders make their way back out of the Hamptons and get back over to us. Damon, what are your thoughts here? What's going to lead us to your highs that you like here? What's going to be the leading? Is it a sector? Is it a name? What do you think is going to take control here?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, the market's been in huge favor. You know, the economic numbers have been great and all that stuff. I mean, last week we just had maybe a slight pullback when the indictments came out. I mean, nothing is stopping these markets, right?
They don't care.
No, they don't care. But bottom line is, you know, you're talking real numbers. I mean, you know, job creation, all that, the tax incentives. You know, Europe and China, by the way, the tariffs are hurting them, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, it hasn't stopped. You know, there's probably a little bit of panic there. You could see that in the markets. Overall, you know, the market, I'm a technician, like probably Dave can agree, you know, when you go into a doctor's office, right, you know, you go, I feel great, but I'm here for a checkup. Well, he does an EKG and he looks at your chart, goes, you know what, we got to admit you. So that's how I look at the charts. I've been in this for 41 years. I've been a technician and I just feel, God, when I start dabbling with fundamentals, it gets kooky for me, right? So I let the charts tell me what I'm thinking and doing. It's interesting. I forgot who was just talking about the gap higher. It could be interesting if we have a couple more up days and then we gap down and we have something like an island top. That would be the first of its kind in a long time. But I've seen, you can look at the dailies. If you're looking, I brought up a daily. I think you could see it. There's the channel on the daily. We're in an up channel, right? But look what happened. Every time we made a new high, swing high, 2-3 days later, we pull back, and it's just normal. And I think that this is even more of a climax through all-time highs that 2-3 days from now, we've had a nice run-up, and, you know, call it the point of control, if you want, and is somewhere in the middle. You'll see a pullback to the mean, whether it's even something like the 5-day moving average, I just threw that up, or the 21 EMA. So I expect maybe a little bit more of this to the upside, and we are in an uptrend. But if you're talking about this week, what I think, you know, I agree with everybody up there. You know, this is a little bit of a climax, dogpile in. We are frothy. I hate talking like this is the all-time high. I'm not going there right now because, you know, the numbers are strong. Now, I traded in the October crash in 87, so every time we get close to October, my hair stand up. So I was in the pit during that time. And I will say that October is seasonally bad anyway, not just the crash, but, you know, and everybody's right on in pretty much in many different ways. September, I think whoever was just talking, I'm sorry, it's true that the first week after Labor Day, they don't come storming in, especially because not only I'm a trader, I've had a brokerage company for over 30 something years, right? You know, in the brokerage business. And, you know, we all expect some big volume right after September, but it's true. You know, people come in, they're probably still hung over from Monday, you know, you know, but, so, and leading into October, it starts to get a little choppy and of course, and usually October is not a good month. And we've had a hell of a run up. I think that this last test of an all-time highs with a gap higher you know, you could see on just on this little chart, I try to show things simple, right, rather than throw too many things up there. But you know, if you just look at every time we made a new high, I don't know if you could see my cursor in that, we had a little bit of a pullback. We took out the swing high, you know, and once we turn down, you know, you get a pullback, and that's where we're heading. We're at the top of the channel, and I would expect a little profit taking. Some of these stocks are out of their minds, you know, overbought, but, you know, I don't look at overbought. I just think they've had a nice extended run, and it's natural. But this is an emotional move here, I think, you know, new highs, gap higher, and we're by the top of the channel. So I'll kind of stick with my prediction that, you know, next couple of days you might see a little bit more of a test of the highs. But I can either see us filling the gap and getting down back in this, let's say, in the spies down to 285-ish, and, you know, and or, you know, even as far as 284, if the, you know, you see a major dog pile out, little kind of a profit taking. And then there's the wild card of any Trump news.
Well, what are the odds of that?
Yeah. So it should be an interesting week, I think, for sure.
I think that every trader needs to have Trump's Twitter. It must be right there on iPads across the whole world, just sitting right there.
Well, certainly if you're a 5-minute scalper, you should have it.
You just have to always be aware of what may come out at any moment with this, with him as president. It could be good or bad. You just never know.
Trump Twitter guy. That's his only job. He just stares at it all day long. Reads out if they're right. Important.
Right.
$100,000 a year. I mean, you can make $1 million, a few million off some of those tweets on the dollar and other things.
David, you brought up the island top. You know, we almost had one early August. The 8th and 9th, we had those three candles that created a gap up into them, mm-hmm. and then the gap down. And I was staring at that for a long time going, we may have just trapped a bunch of bulls up in this market. But they dipped it, and they came back, and they didn't waste time.
Right. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not predicting an all-time top forever, but I think this week you might see a little pullback, you know, after this gap.
Dave, let's go over to you. You're also, what do you think is going to lead this market this week?
Yeah, you gave me a couple things to kind of chew on there, Mike. And Damon said a couple of interesting things, too. And then, of course, you always get something good out of Neil. But the thing I was thinking that you got me thinking about was when I look at markets, I like to see as many confirming things as possible. I look at a couple thousand stocks every day. And one thing I've been noticing internally is that it's been mixed. But like I was saying earlier, I don't know how much my Mike broke up, but my point is that as long as you're at or near new highs, as we have been for a long time, you want to err on a side of longer term trend. And when you drill down to the sectors, there's quite a few, like drugs banging out new highs, retail just off of all time highs are right there for all intents and purposes. And as far as glass half full, glass half empty, now there's a few sectors that are really lagging in here, such as the metals, which is probably somewhat dollar related. But if you take a look at like you had mentioned, the banks were finally waking up. Well, the banks have just looked horrible in here, gapped down recently, sideways at best, and pretty much in a longer-term downtrend. But the reason I'm kind of thinking glass half full is if everything was in a solid uptrend, which don't get me wrong, that's a good thing as a trend follower, but if everything was in a solid uptrend, then everything would be priced for perfection. And so what I'm seeing a little bit now is some of these areas – such as banks, and I think the transports recently woke up a little bit there. There you go, they're going sideways for a while, and now they're closing in on all-time highs. So you still have a little room left in some of these areas that are just kind of hanging in there, and I think that could be what is needed to lift the market higher, provided that obviously those sectors continue to improve. So I keep coming back to, are we near new highs? Let's stay long, and then of course, I'm drilling down every day. And for now, I think you want to continue to err on the side of longer term trend. But I do agree with Damon and Neil that we could see some corrective action in here along the way. But I think until proven otherwise, I think you want to try to hold on as long as you can. Now, that doesn't mean throw caution to the wind. I believe in trading stocks because they're more inefficient. If we get stopped out, we get stopped out. It comes with the territory. It happens, pronounced with a silent SH, or spelled with a silent SH, I should say. Anyway, I don't want to get Dave's video kicked off of YouTube like a few of mine have for talking like a trader. Anyway, long story endless, I think some of these weaker sectors are beginning to improve, and I think that could help to push the market higher. But as always, you want to make sure you have a stop in place. Or as a friend of mine used to say, make sure you have a chair ready for when the music stops.
I love that you brought up the banks, because the one thing I've been worried about is this market hasn't had a lot of leadership the last 2 weeks, right? We've had a lot of individual names like AMD and Apple that have just been lifting the market. But the, you know, we haven't had big sectors that you would usually use to power the indexes up. And the XLF woke up today and it filled this gap. It's had this open gap now forever. You can see it on the chart, and it finally came in and got it, right? And it's just been sitting here forever trying to get there. I don't know what the catalyst, though, is, given all the talks and how long they're going to stay with this. And that's what worries me a little bit here about the move in the XLF today. It's just a one, you know, it's just a quick rotation type day where they look to rotate in here, Dave, and then say, okay, we rotated in here for a day. Now we're done. Let's move on.
Now, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. And I just see that a lot of these areas are improving. Now, breakouts, as you guys know, more often than not, fail, but the fact that we're seeing a lot of these areas begin to break out in here and wake up, I think they could be headed higher. I don't do too much intermarket technical analysis, but maybe this is somewhat related to the dollar. It could be a little bit of a play in the dollar, but we'll just have to let things shake out. I haven't checked bonds yet today. I don't know if you guys are watching bonds, but rates have generally been dropping as of late, so I'm not sure how that all plays into this all, but it seems like if rates head higher, it would be good for financials. So that's kind of a little financials that head higher in spite of rates also heading lower. So I think that's kind of interesting. So it's kind of like the fact that you're not being supported by the rates itself. Maybe the XLF could be the real deal. But again, when in doubt and try not to think too much, just err on the side of the trend. The fact that we're breaking out in the XLF, I think that's definitely worthwhile. And good eye on that. Thanks for pointing that out.
Thanks, Dave. So my last couple of thoughts on the market this week, and then we'll go over and talk about what stock you like for the moving forward and give you guys a chance to talk about it. You know, markets move up on two things. Either there's big buying with new money coming into a market, or a short squeeze. And if you go back to the 16th of August, we got this big dip down to the 280 area, which has been an area of focus for me for a while. And they bought it right back up, and then we gapped up the next day. And when you gap up like this, you trap all the shorts in the market, right? And there's nothing like a good old-fashioned short squeeze when you get everybody to come in and get short the market, and then you trap them the next day with a big gap up. And since then, this market has been pretty relentless, and now we've gapped up higher. There's no shorts left. I got to think, if you were short back here, you're gone, right? Who's, you know, you might getting some new shorts maybe coming in today. But I got to think that, you know, most of the shorts have been squeezed out at this point. So there's no short squeeze left to be had in this market as we move up here. And while I do think markets at new all-time highs bring new buyers in, the big guys aren't around this week to come in, right? You have the algos playing games, and they're right now, if you look at names, they're pumping things up. But what's the real catalyst to move forward here? The NAFTA deal is only with Mexico. I don't think Canada is going to come easily or quickly, right? I just don't think you're going to get that one done here. So for me, the reason I remain more a little bit thinking that we could end this week lower, and I don't think very low. I'm thinking like 288, 287 area on the SPY. It's just, what's the catalyst to keep squeezing this market higher other than algos? And the one thing I know, I think, Damon, you were talking about, you used to work, you know, on the pit and stuff, is that a couple sell programs, algos trigger a couple sell programs. These things take a life of their own, especially when nobody's around paying attention, right? One sell program hits another one and then hits another one. And next thing you know, we have a little bit of a cascade effect.
For sure. I got to tell you, when I worked with for Tudor, I executed for him on the floor and everything. You know, on the low volume days, we were able to move the markets. We created the move. It's, you know, so and that was just one fund, right? So these funds can actually create their own, you know, and kind of move things in their direction when it's really quiet and everybody's still coming back from a holiday. So yeah, for sure. I agree that you could see some goofiness next week, because it's not even this week, it's, you know, the end of this week, probably even more so. You know, they can move the markets. That's why you know, generally you got everybody dog piled in here really long, and like I showed you the I think I have Nivea up here. I was gonna throw that. You could see that trap that you were talking about, how they trapped them down here, and then look at this run up, right?
Yep.
You know, but for the most part, they can move the markets. And I got to tell you, when I was executing for Tudor firsthand, we moved the markets.
Yeah, and I think that's it. You know, you can move the markets easily. It can easily be manipulated here. All right, so we have another question that I want to give each of you guys a chance to talk about names you like moving forward this year and some of the things you want to get involved in. So the question we're having, I'm going to start with you, Jim, is which trading platform or broker do you like best for executing your trades? And maybe if you can give just a little bit, if you use multiple, whether it's for common or for options or one of some of the reasons you like them.
Yeah, I'm as far as executing and all that stuff, generally, I'm just working through Fidelity and Schwab. I'm sure there's a lot of better platforms out there and a lot of more, shall we say, sophisticated ways of getting these orders executed. But, you know, those are the two firms that I'm most familiar with. You guys are more, you know, familiar with all the different platforms and all that kind of stuff. I'm just really concentrating on the markets, what direction, what has value, what doesn't.
Okay, appreciate it. Neil, same question. Which platforms do you use and like them? What do you use them for mostly, options or just regular stock?
I think Interactive Brokers is good for both stocks and options. With the Java-based platform, nothing fancy. You know, if there's a lot of newbies out there, I haven't tried it, but apparently Robinhood is okay and that you don't pay any commissions at all. I'm not sure how good their executions are. But the only way they make money is on margin loans. So going on margin, you're not making them any money. But yeah, Interactive Brokers has been good for many, many years.
Thank you. Damon?
Damon, you're still muted, buddy.
Yep. All right, Dave, we'll go to you. We'll come back to Damon.
Okay, for my style of trading, I'm a swing trader or slotted as a swing trader, but I'm willing to stick with a position as long as it moves in my favor. So execution is really not that crucial. A lot of what I do is either on a stop order or a market order. And all of that I could do through just an old time browser type of broker. I think that if your trading success depends on your execution, then that's a really tough business to be in. I know of people that are scalping and making very little in each trade, and people try to follow them and do the same thing, and their execution's off by 5 cents, and they can't make any money. Anyway, so my execution really isn't that crucial. Interactive Brokers is good. I'm actually an affiliate for Interactive Brokers. I haven't really promoted them a lot, but I am an affiliate. I've been with Schwab forever. As long as I can remember. This year I started experimenting with Thinkorswim, and it's a pretty cool little platform. It has a lot of gee-whiz that I probably will never use to it, but it looks like it's going to be sufficient, especially since it allows me to trade markets outside of just stocks in and of themselves. And that's kind of my goal with that platform, is instead of having a futures broker or a Forex broker and all these other different brokers, just maybe do more execution through Thinkorswim. So for my style, I really don't think it makes that big of a difference. Many years ago, the brokers were much better than others, but I think the playing field has just been leveled so much through competition. So I don't think I wouldn't get too caught up in the brokerages.
Thanks, Dave. Damon, you have anything to add?
I do. I mean, as far as my own platform, for futures, of course, Photon Trader is, I own it, and it executes in milliseconds. And it is important for me as a short-term trader and my clients. I understand Dave's point, because if you're just getting in and you're a swing trader, maybe one tick here and there doesn't matter. But for futures, you have to have your servers at the exchange and everything. As far as for stocks, I was the managing director of TOS. I redesigned their futures front end when I was there in 2010, I believe it was. And it was managing director of futures. But for stocks, I like them for stocks. You could be a little bit not as sensitive as speed with stocks, because, you know, you're working things and working a bit, and it's a little different. So they're pretty good, and I think IB is probably pretty good too. I do like, though, TOS's variety of things that they can offer, and for options, I think they're pretty good.
You think they knew that people would call it TOS when they created that platform?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about it, when I was there, you know, I was hired when it was TOSS, right, from Tom Sosnoff. He sat next to me. It was great. Yeah. But, and then all of a sudden, TD Ameritrade kind of started integrating everything, you know, as time went on. And, yeah, TOSS is kind of like in the background now, right? Everything's TD Ameritrade. And, but the front end is actually thinkorswim, you know, the main front end.
Yeah, me personally, I use thinkorswim as my main platform, and I do love the platform. As you said, it's got some of the best technical features and charting capabilities out there of any of the other brokers out there. Their fills are okay. I think since they bought Scottrade and they converted everybody over to thinkorswim platform, that their servers have been a little bit overwhelmed at times. But overall, they have one of the better feature-rich platforms out there, and it's definitely, if you're a technical trader, probably one of the best ones to use. They have great option chains. Now, I trade options and common. I'll either use options in the day. I'm not afraid to scalp a stock with common to grab 1,000 or 500 shares, depending upon the size of the stock, right? Obviously, I'm not looking to grab 1,000 shares of Google or Amazon, but, you know, grab some shares and take them for a scalp and make some money that way. The other account I use is Fidelity. I use them for my large account. And I think, kind of like you said, that in that account, I don't micromanage anything. So for me, as long as I can get in and out within a reasonable time when I want in and out, and I can put a price and ignore it, I'm good with it. And for me, they fit that mold easily. Their fills are quick. They're reasonably priced. And I just trust their security. So, you know, it really kind of depends on what you're looking for. But I think, you know, I think everybody here is really saying Schwab, Fidelity, TOSS, Interactive Brokers. You know, it's funny. Nobody mentioned E-Trade. I used to be on them a long time ago, and I haven't touched them in a long time there. And the other one is TradeHawk now is one of the new ones out there as well, that they offer a monthly fee, flat fee for unlimited trading. So some interesting names. All right, guys, we have about 10 minutes. So what I thought we could do here is I give each one of you a chance to tell us about a trader two you like, and then tell us about your service and what you do. And Jim, we'd start off with you.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly go over where we are on this S&P here. Again, on the short run, some of the things that would be of concern, obviously the market looks great jumping up like this, but on the short run, the gapping up with a whole bunch of volume, if that volume does dry up as the week goes on and some news changes at all, again, that could cause a little bit of a turnaround later in the week. The VIX diversion, meaning last week we're at 11.75 and this week we're not taking out that low while the market's jumped up like this, is something to concern. And the bigger thing is I like to look at the moving averages versus where the prices are. And again, we're about 200 points getting to be anyway, above the 200-day average on the S&P and 700 points on the NASDAQ. And the higher something gets away from its moving average doesn't make it less risky. So the higher it goes, obviously that changes the risk profile as well. So, you know, stuff like covered rights, if the calls are real fat up here, and then puts to hedge some of these gains you might have, and even strangles to try to speculate a bit, might not be the worst things in the world to look at right now. As far as value stuff is concerned, a couple of things hit me that I'm going to share with you. One is on the gaming stocks, Wynn and Las Vegas Sands, both got hit pretty good off of their highs and went way down. I saw the Wynn stock go under 140, and now it's in the, it hit 151 today. And Las Vegas Sands went down towards about 64 or something like that. Now it's trading 67.5 today. If there were to be some resolution in China, I think those two gaming stocks may come back alive, because we know the consumer's got money because he has a job and his portfolios are going up. So going to the gaming institution, certainly you're not going to be a negative there. And there could be a potential turnaround in those if we get more progress in China. So I keep an eye on those two things. And on the commodity side, I noticed that the price of platinum hit, like I saw last week, around $425 discount to the price of gold, which I've been around for a long time, as many of you guys have, and that's not an ordinary relationship, and it might be well-deserved, but I just thought that there might be some value there in a spread transaction of long platinum, short gold. So, you know, those who are out there looking for a commodity speculation might want to investigate that and see if there's any merit. And the gold to silver ratio is at 82 to 1 or so, and that's kind of a pretty extended area as well. As far as myself is concerned, you want to hear some more insights and discuss different things that you're working on. I do have a podcast every week, Option Professor Weekly Update, and the link to that podcast is available. And any other questions you have, just quickly zip a email over to optionprofessor@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to discuss stuff that you have or give you some insight or whatever I can do for you. And I want to thank everybody for having me here today.
Jim, thank you very much for being on. Always a pleasure doing this show with you. Neil, same question. You want to give us a trade or two you like moving forward and tell us about yourself and how people can get a hold of you?
You know, I'm just going to wait it out for a couple of days on a trade here, to be honest. But one thing I've been looking at the last couple of weeks, and sorry, I just have to share my screen. Long golf and gold. This is it. What's going on here? Gold might have a bit of a rebound here with the bug, because if the Fed is talking about not raising rates so fast, that can only mean they secretly think that the economy is weak, or they're trying not to crash the economy before the midterm elections or both. Powell is pretty. Obviously, he was appointed by Trump. I think he's a registered Republican. And so they're going to try to hold the market up as much as they can before the midterm elections, because governments don't get voted in. Governments only get voted out. It's typically how it works here. So you can look at gold for a bit of a rebound here. We actually did the triple inverse junior gold miners when gold was crashing down here. Worked out really well for us. Used this hammer candle to get out. So you can look at that if you're a dollar trader. A lot of people, I've mentioned this so many times, that you can trade the dollar futures contract, and a lot of people don't seem to be interested in it. But if you go back here in May, we bought some calls on the dollar here just on a break of the cloud. It was just an awesome trade. And now, you know, you're sort of getting a possible head and shoulders coming here and a cloud break. You might be able to do something on the dollar, on the futures contract. And so those are the traits I have not executable right now, however.
All right, Damon, you're breaking in and out. Can you hear us still?
Yeah, no. Am I okay now? Can you hear?
I'm sorry, Damon. I mean, Neil. Sorry, that was Neil.
Oh.
I'm done.
Okay, you're all set. You were breaking in and out. So thank you very much, okay. Neil. Been a pleasure having you with us. Damon?
Pleasure. Yes.
Trader okay. Two from you as well, and tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Sure. Well, I'll just reaffirm the E-minis, for instance. I do feel like it's going to be an interesting trade to watch. I think you could see over here, I brought up Photon Trader. These are volume candles. The wider the candle, you know, the more volume in that bar. So you could see, you know, beautiful trends up, and on 5 minute, little bit of a pullback, consolidation, and back up. We haven't been below the 30 low moving average in 5 minute for quite a while, and that probably coincides a little bit with the 5 moving average. If you look over the right, that's a 30 minute. So I kind of feel that keep an eye for any decent sized reversal. And if the E-minis do get down below 86, you could get a nice correction. And I do think that you'll see a little bit of a top coming in, short-term top. I'm so bullish, like Dave. I mean, you got to overall, if you're looking long-term, you got to look for a good place to buy, you know, dips to buy. Short-term, it could be a nice reversal coming up. So I'd be looking at that. And then quickly, for anybody who's interested in contacting me, got any questions, I also have a webinar tomorrow. You can send an email to me, and if you want to be part of it, talking about the last half an hour, I used to fill for the index funds on the floor, and there's a certain imbalance trade that you can watch for. Last half an hour is probably the most interesting of the day, and I was the guy that used to move the markets when they'd come in and they'd have the long ETFs might have imbalanced the upside, and then 900 million coming in, and I'm buying 3,000 big S&Ps. But that alone is a great move. And I would be watching this this week, I believe. Like a couple of gentlemen said, it could be interesting towards the end when the volume gets a little light and we get below some of these big candles when everybody got in. Then you could see some profit taking, a little scare out when I say scare out the longs, I'm going to just say scare out the weak longs, which, you know, some small retail, some, you know, you get. This can also be some stops above the market too, as well, that got brought in as volume. It's a combination of things. So my email's up there. My phone number's there. Feel free to contact me, and we can I'll answer any questions you might have.
Damon, thank you very much. Been a pleasure being on the show with you as well. Dave, tell us about yourself and any trades you have.
All right. Right now, I'm not seeing a whole lot of trades. I do have a trading service, and lately I've been telling people mostly to just sit on their hands, simply because if you're a pullback player and the market's hitting new highs, there's not a lot of pullback. So lately, it's been more of get ready. The only thing I am watching is I'm watching a couple of IPOs, and as I've talked about earlier, the buy at B type of pattern where you look to buy new closing highs. I'm not a breakout trader, but I would say, is just to throw out a tip this week, keep an eye on the IPOs. It's kind of a selective market as far as the ones that are doing well, but look to buy the ones that are making new highs, provided, of course, you have enough volume and decent range on them. It looks like they're headed higher. That would be one thing I would throw out, something to do until we get a pullback in the overall market. I have been working on a learning management system, which I'm pretty excited about. When I did my last book, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, I figured that I'd probably answered, I forget the exact number, but 30 or 40,000 individual emails. And then I realized over the last several years that that's probably number one, because I have carpal tunnel literally in both hands. I realized that's maybe not the most efficient use of my time as far as helping people with trading. So I've developed a learning management system for traders, and I hope to launch it within the next several weeks. And what's going to be pretty cool is they're going to have a lot of courses, trading psychology, money management, methodology, and then the holistic trader, because these things don't exist in a vacuum. And then one reoccurring theme you hear every week in these shows, that these topic research and crowd forecast news shows, is the importance of trading psychology. And I cannot emphasize that enough. So I try to tie it all together, or I think I did a pretty good job of tying it all together. So in the meantime, if you need to reach me, you can reach me directly until this launches. You can reach me at dave@davelander.com. And if you want to get information on all this, plus a bunch of goodies, just go to davelander.com/CFN. Mike, I did have one question for you. About 20 years ago, there was a Pisani that was somewhat famous in the option markets. Are you in any relation to him?
Thanks. I don't believe so. I don't think any of my family, at least in my direct immediate family, has ever been involved in the markets. I did have a brother-in-law who was a very big successful trader for Smith Barney on the NASDAQ back in the dot-com period, but he's been long, long retired on the money he made from that.
Okay. I was just curious.
Thanks. All right. And Dave, thank you for being on the show. Really enjoy having you as well. And to everybody that was with me, I enjoy that. So I have one idea for you guys, and I'm kind of like with Dave. I'm very light here right now. The next 2 weeks are usually ripe with peril and difficulties and low volume. So I have a couple positions on. One is Electronic Arts, and now I also have this Twitter on. And what I love about Twitter here, guys, is I think it got unduly beat up on Facebook earnings and some of the news on its earnings. And what I loved about it, and we've been talking about it for a while with my subscribers, is it put a two-day low in and never violated it. I thought for sure it would hit the 200-day, never got to it. And then it's just been – this is consolidation mode. And then finally, about a week ago, they bought December 33 calls in size, and I jumped on them. I've sold a bunch of them now. I had 20. I think I'm down to about 3 here moving forward, just taking profits on the way up, and I have common. But see how tight the Bollinger Bands? This was indicative that this stock is getting ready for a big move. You know, Bollinger Bands don't tell us which way the move is going to go, but they tell us when we're getting very tight – that the stock is getting ready to move, and it looks like it's breaking to the upside. See how it, you know, here on this day, it bounced above the 8-day, consolidated for a couple of sessions between it and the 21-day, and today now it's exploded back above the 21-day, out of the Bollinger Bands. And to me, I'm looking to play the rest of what I have to 37.47, which is that gap. Can it fill that gap? Maybe. But for me right now, I figure it's going to be a little bit overbought by the time it hits it. So unless there's news, I'll play it to there, and then I'll reevaluate. So that's something you guys can keep your eye on. And what I would encourage you all to do is, as long as the index aren't selling off, in which case you should be looking to play short if you're comfortable with that, play the names that had volume. Like some people said, the IPOs, names like Twitter, some of these companies that have just on fire. But, you know, names like AMD, you shouldn't be looking. If you're not long AMD here, you shouldn't be looking at it up this far. This thing has run too far. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get me at smartoptiontrading.com. Come in here to bring you in. I have a service. I call it Option Flow. Every morning and evening, we do videos talking about what the day should look like, what the best action of the day was, what's good from a swingable perspective in the option market, what I liked, and what I'm looking for the next day moving forward. So again, smartoptiontrading.com if you're interested in. Just hook me up, $25 for your first 30 days. Hey, you go out for drinks and it costs you more than that. That said, I'd thank to like all the guests here that today. I enjoyed doing this. And David, we're coming in right about on time. If you're there, I'll turn this over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for being here for the four-year anniversary show. And just a reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or shows. Also, be sure to join us tomorrow, August 28th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the 47th episode of Analyze Your Trade. You can go to, you can always go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live broadcast. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Mike Pisani of alphashark.com and smartoptiontrading.com, Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com, Neil Batho of traderreview.net, Damon Pavlatos of futurepathtrading.com, and Dave Landry of davelandry.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Good show.
Thank you. Take care.